Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so I would say if you're an Astros fan and you're freaking out a little bit, I'm cool with that. Like this is like DEFCON 1 or 2 kind of stuff right now with the pitching staff. You know, I think they've got the talent to turn it around. They got to get some guys back. Hopefully that this Fromber thing is not anything more severe than just inflammation that goes down and he's pitching again in a few weeks. Who knows? We'll see. But right now it's tough. And you've seen three out of your last four games, you've had your starting pitcher give up just a deluge inning. Two of them in the first inning. Blair Henley on Monday and then Hunter Brown yesterday. Gave up 9 runs yesterday, Hunter Brown did. And then obviously Spencer Arrighetti did the bullpen the service of at least giving them 3 innings to rest before they came in. But Astro fans are understandably nervous. So I put up a poll and wow. Okay. Here we go. Pender poll. Is the Astros dynasty over? Simple question, Seth. Is the Astros dynasty over? Yes or no? We're several hundred votes in. I just put it up about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, boy.
What are you thinking
let me,
here?
Let me guess. I'm going to guess right now, when put into terms like that, most people are going to step back and say, wait a second. No, I can't close the door on not just this season, but an entire era this early in this season. So I'm going to guess that 70% said no.
Your spidey senses are not on today, my friend.
Oh, boy. I'm
yeah,
way
you're
off,
usually huh? really good at this game.
I'm
yeah.
a little too naive about people's capacity for negativity.
In the internet, yeah.
Yes.
yes is the winner, 58%.
Okay.
58-42. 58% of the several hundred people who voted say that the dynasty is over.
That's a landslide by presidential standards, but not in the polling world. I
right.
wouldn't say that's too close to a coin flip right now.
Okay.
To where people are either they're right on the fence as a group as to whether or not this dynasty is over.
It would seem you're clearly a no, right?
A no, but in like a way where I can like conclusively I can't say that it's not over.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, this is how all dynasties end eventually,
mm-hmm.
right? Is it something that looks exactly like this? I do think that there's some things I'm clinging way too much to the Astros having the second best strikeout rate offensively. That I feel like, you know what? For one,
that is something.
Offensive, they might be 20th in runs per game right now, and yet there's evidence and signs that they'll be just fine offensively. The biggest issue and problem I think about when it comes to long term is that, yes, you've got all these guys who are on the injured list for your starting pitchers. That's a problem. The problem is, though, that like if we're talking in dynastic terms, Verlander ain't going to be around here for the rest of the dynasty.
No.
You know, we're not really genuinely going to rely on Lance McCullers, right, for the rest of the dynasty.
Yeah.
We don't really know what we have in Luis Garcia or Jose Urquidy, really. So, yeah, like just hoping that Framber, who might not be around for the rest of the potential dynasty also. There's warts and blemishes here for a team that's spending the third most money in baseball right now. Yeah, so I get a little bit nervous, but I wouldn't call it over.
Yeah, no. Yeah. To me, like this is, much as we poke fun at 162 game guy, like that's a question where you do go, okay, it is 14 games. Like that's different than – Can they win the division? You know, like I am feeling like this might be a wild card team this year, maybe not a division winner like we were expecting.
Yeah,
only because other than Verlander, there really are no reinforcements in sight for the pitching staff. You know what I mean? And there's no solution at first base in sight unless they decide to call up Loper Fido and give him a go at first base at some point here. That's the thing, is there's not a lot of dry powder for you to go get solutions outside the organization. You know, like if you had to replace Framber Valdez, you can't replace Framber Valdez with Spencer Arrighetti for the season. You know, like if you're trying to replace him, truly replace him, you are now starting to scour other teams' rosters to go, okay, is this team going to be a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline?
I think where they really have lost their edge in a lot of ways is just whatever they've lost with Brent Strom being out of the building. Like, I think that's been a cumulative process where just from you chip away a little bit one year, then the next year you see a little bit more. Maybe that's it. And then I think the other thing is just the edge that the Astros had in Latin American scouting forever and were so good at. I just feel like that's dried up and gone away. Some of the pitchers we have right now are some of the last guys that are these guys that Luno and his staff found by looking into every nook and cranny, signing, you know, over the hill prospects like Framber Valdez. I don't see those guys coming back up, you know, and that's where the steady degradation of the bolt or of the pipeline is what worries me more than anything.
We have a really good text about Jim Crane that we got just a second ago. But before we read this, Ben, do we have the Reggie Jackson? Okay, Reggie. Here was Reggie Jackson on John Heyman's podcast. John Heyman, longtime baseball writer. He was asked about making decisions like the Blake Snell non-signing, the Alex Bregman contract extension. How does that happen? And Reggie Jackson kind of laid out what the leadership team looks like for the Astros.
We have a great leadership group in our GM. Also, we have a couple of other advisors in Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, who are very much involved in our decision making. I'm involved. Jim takes those decisions and puts them together, listens to our management and coaching staff, on the field, talks to our GM and his staff. And then, of course, some of the analytics come into the future of a player, and our decisions are made that way, along with being fiscally responsible.
Okay. So this is a committee. Really? I mean, if we're taking Reggie Jackson at face value there, like, this is not a GM who's empowered by the owner to go do what you need to do to go either rebuild parts of the team or build parts of the team. That's the picture that's painted right there. The text message, Seth, 6249. Do you think Crane was hands-off at first but was so humiliated by the cheating scandal that he's gone too far in the opposite direction, almost too involved now, needs a damn committee?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. And, you know, we've seen this happen in situations that don't involve any scandal. But when an owner wants to let the experts do their thing, you know, you want to let the coach and the GM do what they're good at and try to stay out of it as much as possible. And you try to be hands off. And then all of a sudden, everything has spun way out of control. I think that with the Astros, it wasn't just the being better than everybody else scandal. Remember, it was the clubhouse incident after the World Series.
Brandon
game as
Taubman,
well.
Yeah, Brandon.
Yeah,
Taubman.
Like, I think there were things that you could point to and say, "All right, Luno, as brilliant as he is in some respects, needs more oversight on other areas, maybe especially involving the human side of things."
Yeah,
or the complying with MLB memos side of things.
Right.
Whatever. Like,
right.
Distribute a damn memo, okay?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's probably like a very, if I put myself in Jim Crane's shoes, that's where I would step in and say, like, all right, well, crap, I gotta be more hands on here, apparently.
Well, and this is when he started bringing in a bunch of outside voices too. You know, that's when he started leaning more on guys like Bagwell and Reggie Jackson. And now Biggio's name is getting mixed in here. He's part of the mix. And I have great respect for all three of those guys, for the players that they were. And for, obviously, they're all three very smart baseball people. Being a smart baseball person and making decisions in 2024 about building a 2024 baseball team, a baseball team built for this age, are two, to me, two very different things. And I think to myself, a couple of things. One, like, okay, how much can I even blame Dana Brown for stuff that goes on with this team now, knowing that knowing it's been confirmed by one of these guys here publicly what we all suspected, which is there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen with this thing. Even coming off of the ratchet-ass offseason they had last year with Bagwell flying down to go pluck Jose Abreu from the White Sox. So I don't know how much I can even blame Dana Brown if he's dealing with like four other people on making decisions. And my other thing is, how many other teams are doing this? Like, how many other teams have their decision-making structure in a way that you've got three legends sitting in the room opining on this stuff and having influence on this stuff as opposed to empowering the GM to go build a damn baseball team?
Right, right. Yeah, like, is that exactly at which point? It's one thing. It's tough whenever you put people between the owner and the GM when it comes to decision making. And like, is that we have no idea how it actually works or anything, but I feel like the way that I imagine it, or the way that it's being presented by some people, it's almost like, no, it's not like Dana Brown reports directly to Jim Crane. It's that he reports directly to him. Well, Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson yes. are also evaluating what Dana Brown is saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know that's, and maybe that's completely wrong. That's the impression that I get.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I need someone to draw for me what this looks like on an org chart. You know what I mean? Like, what does this look like? Like, who reports to who? Like, who's got the power? Like, you kind of laid it out earlier. Like, okay, is it this thing where Bagwell's got 38% of the vote and Reggie Jackson's got 20%? Like, what is the process here for this stuff?
Yeah.
And are there certain decisions? Is there like a level of decision where we'll let Dana go do all that stuff? You know, like the draft or whatever. Or, you know, bringing guys up and down from the minor leagues. But then there's just certain decisions, like Blake Snell, let's say. Let's hear from Reggie Jackson on Blake Snell. Are there certain decisions that are above a line where now you got to get all the chefs involved in the whole thing?
Being fiscally responsible, I think, is what kicked us out of the Snell deal. He signed a two-year deal, I want to say, for $62. That's too much for him. He's been hurt a couple of times. And I think there's incentives on top of that. He's also got an option on his own. And between the four or five people that make the decisions with the Astros, we don't play that game.
Wait, what did he say about the phone at the end? The option on his phone?
He has an option on his deal. Blake Snell has an opt out after year one. Like his deal has that thing that Jim.
Yeah,
Crane makes.
I didn't hear what he said. I couldn't hear what he said after the opt out. But yeah. Okay. That podcast, by the way, is not saving baseball. When I watched a little bit of John Heyman talking to Reggie Jackson, whoever the other old guy.
Oh, you mean
was
like the energy
there.
Level of it or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not saving baseball.
No.
The Blake Snell thing, as far as that money, right? The problem is the Blake Snell deal wasn't prohibitive. It was all of the other deals like Jose Abreu that make the Blake Snell deal prohibitive,
right?
I think
it's too pricey for us. Not necessarily too pricey for us. Yeah,
and it's hard because it's not like the Astros are being cheap. It's that we run into that situation sometimes where you want to accuse the owner of being cheap when in fact he spent a lot of money, just not in all the spots that would have been more effective to spend it.
Yeah,
which means that you can't do things like the Blake Snell deal.
I'm more scared about the big picture than I am the 2024 season. I think they're going to end up winning a bunch of baseball games. I just don't know. I don't know about this construct moving forward. Clearly the answers do not exist in the minor league level for this team right now. And you got guys that may not be Astros just because they may leave after this season or next season. It's a teetering time right now, man.
What if Jeff Luhnow comes walking through that door?
Be great.
What if all of a sudden, do you think it would happen?
He was a great GM.
But the part with Luhnow that, you know, I always wondered was, okay, what is it going to be like when you get to this portion? Like, this is the hardest part. As impressive as everything he did was, like, what do you do to sustain it? That's really, really hard to do and maintain.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a slam dunk that Luhnow would have been good at it.
Yep.
It's just that they're different modes of operation when you're on the up and when you're trying to stabilize.
We were deprived of that, for sure, by the sign-stealing punishment. All right, Tom Brady was on a podcast. Tom Brady, don't do this, man. Do not do this. Do not do this Brett Favre thing it looks like you might be doing. That's next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.